My name is Daniel, and
wait a minute, Daniel. What? I know, but I forgot.
Value.
How do you? You have a J in there?
Yeah, there's a J. It's close. Balje.
Balje.
Yeah.
There we go. And your dad faithfully worked in our tech ministry for a long time.
And I am right now.
And amen. Okay.
My question is about Ezekiel 4. Just like why it's include or why God had Ezekiel do the things he did in that chapter, because it seems so out of left field where he had him sit outside the city gates for a year and cooking bread over his own poop.
Yeah. That's a great question. Why does he do that and lay on his side, mm-hmm. and why does he do all the other stuff, like dig through the wall and everything?
It's just so out left field compared to like most other things in the Bible, it seems.
Basically, I mean, that's answered in verse 3. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. And what all of those things, including, if you remember, there are other things like going... Jeremiah went and took this garment and buried it in the ground by the river so that it rotted. And there's all this stuff. Also, Jeremiah, in this time period of the decline of Israel, God was giving them visible, well, portrayals or signs for them to see what was going to happen. Now, did God have to do that? No. But it was a visual, I guess you'd say, to portray how an infinite, holy, divine God sees the effects of our sin. And I guess I would put these signs under for God to do things in a way we would call it anthropomorphic, like a God that exemplifies what humans go through. So what Daniel said is... he had to drink, verse 11, his water by measure. He had to eat these, verse 12, these barley cakes, and using defiling stuff, the human waste. Do you remember how hygienic God is? In Exodus, he said that everybody in the camp was supposed to carry a little paddle with them, a little shovel, kind of like a Boy Scout shovel. And it says, when it came time for you to have a bowel movement, you were supposed to dig a little pit. I mean, God had sanitation rules that the health department now is trying to teach the world, you know, to not pollute the water supply and not to pollute the population. And so God said, I want that so that when I walk around your camp, I don't see defilement. It's the same reason God said, when you walk up to the altar, I want the priest to wear these. Did you know the priest wore, under their robe, they wore these bloomer things, or whatever you want to call them, you know, the like in the Wild West, women used to wear those, the bloomer, whatever they are, leggings or something. Priests had to wear those because God said he did not want their nakedness exposed in the reflective surfaces of the temple gear. When he was, did you know God wants us to know, he visualizes, he helps us to see how much sin offends him. And so he said, you people are just like Ezekiel. You're eating your food every day and it's like you're defiled. And you're going to, since you in the promised land are living like pagans and defiled, like eating over dung-fueled fires, I'm going to put you in captivity in the midst of pagans, and you're going to live, all of you, like Ezekiel's living among you. So it was a warning. It was a warning sign. Calling the people that would respond, by the way, if you notice, Ezekiel later gets, is it 12? I mean, I haven't read Ezekiel for a while, but he starts, where does he start that? He starts it In 5. Oh, it's right after your question. Look at verse 5. This is the first time in verse 13. 60 times God repeats the same thing in Ezekiel. He does these visuals, all of these, you know, lay on your side and eat one-tenth of a hin of whatever, and cut your hair and burn it in fire and mix it with stuff, all these weird stuff. And then he says 60 times the same thing. If you want to understand Ezekiel, you have to find these repeated phrases. And the first time it's there is in chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "Thus shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest on them, and I will be avenged, and they shall know that I am the Lord who have spoken." And if you look, he says the same thing in verse 7 of chapter 6. "You shall know that I am the Lord." In verse 10, "You shall know that I am the Lord, and you shall know that I am the Lord, and you shall know," verse 14, "that I am the Lord." And if you count those, he says 60 times, "I'm doing all this visual stuff for you to know that I'm the Lord." So I would think, again, "that you may know that I am the Lord." I would have had Jesus born in Bethlehem and crucified at the end of the week and get the whole mess over with. But God says, "I have this plan that I'm following." And his plan was Israel would become a visual of, "Be not deceived, God's not mocked, whatever you sow, you're going to reap." And they wouldn't keep the Sabbath day, and they didn't keep it, so he took the number of Sabbath days they didn't give him, and he sent them away for 70 years of captivity to get back all the Sabbaths they didn't give him. Did you know that? Did you know that God keeps track? And that's why it's so good, the previous question to Daniel's, this one, that God accepts the perfect life of Christ, because God keeps track of all of our sins. And if you haven't been justified with the perfect life imputed to you, he said, "Then I'm going to show you what's going to happen to you." And Ezekiel's were tame, Daniel, compared to what it says in Leviticus, where it says, and he visually told him, he said, "You're going to eat your own children because of the sieges, and you're going to do this and this and this." So I guess my short answer is I don't know. But what I see is a pattern of Ezekiel doing these visuals to show them what God was going to do so that some would respond. And in chapter, what I was getting to is in one of these, where is the one? Oh, it's in chapter 9. Okay, here we go. Daniel, last thing, and then I'll let you go. In chapter 9, it says, "And the glory of the Lord," verse 3 comes, and in verse 4, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and look at this, and put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in it." And he said, "Then go after him through the city and kill everyone else." God wanted people to respond. So Ezekiel did all these visuals and said, "This is how God looks at you, and this is what God's going to do to you, and God's going to send you off on the other side of the river, and God's going to, you know, you're going to be defiled like eating your food over excrement, burned fires." And then he went to see in verse 4 of chapter 9 who that bothered, who grieved over sin. And he puts a mark on them. And what's interesting is, basically, all of the what this is showing is when the Babylonians came into Jerusalem, God had supernaturally marked some people, and the Babylonians were indiscriminately hacking and killing people, and they never killed the righteous ones that God wanted to take off to Babylon to perpetuate the faith, to keep copying the scriptures. Did you ever wonder how they preserved the scriptures when they were such rascals in Israel? They were worshiping the sun and everything else. It's because God marked the ones that sighed and grieved over the abominations, verse 4 of chapter 9. And that angel with the blotter and the inkhorn in verse 3 was something spiritual. It's almost like how God marked the 144,000 in Revelation, and they could not be killed. And he marked the two prophets, and they were invulnerable till God allowed them to be killed. He kept the righteous in Jerusalem and didn't let them be killed. So, Daniel, I don't know, but, you know, it's interesting how God works. And usually it's to make people respond. And he's trying to get them to visually see what the prophet was saying. But I can't believe that you're reading Ezekiel 4. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
In fact, you would get the ribbon tonight for reading the scriptures. Did I say enough?
Yeah.
Okay.